The '80s were defined by comedies like Rambo, Lone Wolf.
He's got a poster of that.
I have a poster of that in my office. Yep.
Norman does.
Signed?
Yeah. No, God, I wish. No way.
Well, I was wondering, how do you follow laughter like those movies with MacGruber?
God, I am caffeinated. Sorry. It's interesting, actually, because when we were first writing this movie, and this was the case all throughout it, sort of thing, we were constantly having to check ourselves and not make it too goofy or too comedy-esque in terms of our choices. Like, and that's down to like the costumes and the casting and the sets and the locations and everything, like the way we were filming it, because we really wanted this to be like our ode to like a 80s action movie. And it's, what's amazing is that watching those movies again, there's so much comedy stuff in those movies, like from the villains, the way the villains talk, or like that we couldn't actually even do because it would feel like it was a comedy choice. So I think I wish I had a good example of this, but like there's so many movies that you're like, well, we can't do that because that's too goofy. So we were constantly having to check ourselves because we wanted to basically keep this character that we really loved, who was a slightly ridiculous individual with a lot of flaws, and put him into a real action movie or a semi-action. You know, I mean, it is a send-up in a lot of ways too.
I think automatically assume that it's just going to be the sketch over and over again for 90 minutes, and I think they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yes, we were desperately trying to avoid that at all costs.
So. We didn't want to write that, and we wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah, totally.
So what was the most physically humiliating scene that you were in, and who's responsible for writing it?
You could pick about 20 things that were...
Or emotionally humiliating, you know.
I had to be naked and do something with a piece of celery that my mom will be haunted by for a long time because she was on the set. These two guys wrote that. There's a lot of pretty raunchy stuff that I had to do, but that was really the main one that was just because my mom was there.
But it was amazing how many times you turned around in this movie and saw Will completely naked with like a nutsack protector on. So it was impressive how many times that happened.
Yeah.
At least 5.
And that's the official term?
Cocksock.
Right? Cocksock. Yeah. Or it's dance belt.
How was that after having celery in your butt?
There was actually a
more
celery
respect.
Thief. There was some guy that was somehow
we did
affiliated
not see
with
I did
the
not see
I saw the guy.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see him take it.
He was affiliated, but somebody had told me that this guy who was affiliated with the rail yards had come and taken one of the pieces of used celery.
Other than craft service.
Mementos.
Yeah, it was a strange.
One of the funniest moments too on the there's a deleted scene thing that we might put on the DVD that is there's a moment where Ryan is also doing things with celery.
No, this is a spoiler alert.
And
getting this out there.
And we have and Jason with gloves on, totally professional. Our prop guy runs in and hands him a fresh stalk.
Oh yeah.
And it was one of the weirdest. Like, oh my god. You can say what it was about Will. You can say that happened with Will.
Okay. Wasn't that supposed to be a carrot first?
I think that we changed that. Well, I don't even know what our original inspiration for that was, but I think we changed it because. Celery seemed more like the plume of a peacock. Yeah. That was a short answer.
So, well, in real life, if you had to defuse a bomb, how would you do that? Or would you be able to do that?
Oh, I would take off running. I would,
urine.
I mean, I would try to talk to it nicely. That would be, like, the best. Please, come on, think about what you're doing. and bombs don't usually respond to polite conversation. So, no.
That's good.
I'm not a hero. I would be out of there. They're very good people who work for bomb squads who can deal with it.
Are you crafty in general?
No. I will sometimes fashion together makeshift things, but more because I'm lazy than crafty.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
I recently saw the Saturday Night documentary, and it was. Oh,
was it the James Frank?
Yeah, it was insane to see what kind of pace you guys work at. I'm wondering if it was a relief to have a little bit more leeway writing the movie and doing the movie, or if it was you were used to doing it at that speed.
It was very similar pace.
It was similar, but in certain ways easier than the show.
Yeah, in certain ways. Just the fact that you have turnaround, which is, you know, like that you have to have 12 hours off before you go back to work sort of thing, that in itself is so much
better. But she's talking about the writing process, right?
You mean the whole thing?
Overall.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Like to have turnaround was because routinely at the show you will stay up till 10 o'clock in the morning and then the next morning get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that kind of flip of your schedule really screws you up really quickly, and then having to do that weeks on end sort of thing gets really exhausting. But this schedule was really fast. I mean, we shot this in 28 days and like had like 6 weeks of pre-production, and I mean it was the whole thing start to finish was, I mean it's basically been about 14 months since we started writing to now, something which is
the fast. Writing process was really fun but really grueling because we wrote in about 4.5-5 weeks, and two of those weeks were SNL production weeks, so it was, and those are on their own insane as you've seen from that documentary. But in a weird way, it I think helped with the process. It was such a different experience than writing for the show, and we were able to. We knew early on that we wanted to make it R, so we could do these slightly more. Well, just so there were no boundaries, and we could really just do the most fun stuff that we could, and every step of the way we really just came up with the most wild ideas possible, and we kept thinking somebody at some point will come in and put a stop to this and say you cannot do this,
and that
that's,
never
that's could. Weird, that's disgusting, and they yeah it never ever happened. They gave us so much freedom, and it was really nice, and we were so exhausted that we started thinking of weirder and weirder ideas, and
but in a lot of ways, like the kind of speed that we wrote it in, it was sort of helpful in terms of not second guessing ourselves because we just wrote what made the three of us laugh, sort of thing. So that's an answer.
What made you laugh the most? Like the very, very most.
Just the jokes, you know.
For which.
The jokey parts.
I mean, we. You know, you go through it. You don't know what's gonna make people.
I have an answer. I mean, for me, the scene where MacGruber has been kicked off the mission the first time was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and it was really hard for me to keep together.
And the sex scene, we had our table reading of the sex scene, to have just in a room, you know, with a bunch of people with scripts in front of them, to have him start doing what he does in the sex scene at the table for a really long time. It just, there's this feeling that I can't believe this is happening.
And those are the moments that you were like, oh, well, somebody's going to, after the table read, is going to be like, hey, but what's it really going to be like?
Yeah, what's it going to be like? No, that's it.
You saw it.
I felt bad for Kristen on that day when we actually did it because it was very hot in Albuquerque, and this was the second story. This is a bedroom on the second floor of this house, and already I was sweating just walking to the bed, and so then I was just, she was so covered in my sweat at the end of this sex scene. It was very, I felt bad for her because it was her birthday. nobody deserves that on their birthday.
On any day, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a you murdered somebody. You know, here's send your, Will over to sweat on you
and make noise
for the rest. Yeah.
You were talking about the Saturday Night documentary that James Franco directed, and on the panel afterwards at Tribeca, there was a little bit of a dispute. You, Will, said, I didn't even know that this was going to make the show that week, and Kenan Thompson jumped in and said, I call BS because every joke landed and killed at the table read. So what was the
sketch?
Well, it was MacGruber. Before the table read, I'm saying, like, you're up so late at night, doubt just starts to creep in. You have a good time writing it, but it's just inevitable that you will start to doubt what you did. And so beforehand I was thinking, oh, this is just dumb, I don't know. And then it went very well at the table read, and so yeah, at that point I started thinking, oh, maybe they'll give us a chance to make it, but it was three short films as opposed to one, so it's, you know, there was no...
I was just glad that we were allowed to do it as a pre-tape, because yeah. the way that the MacGruber sketch works is, it's so fast. We cram, like, about, like, you know, what should be a 5 minutes worth of dialogue into, like, you know, a minute and 30 seconds because it's going so fast. So I was just really glad that when we went to table that they allowed us to shoot it as a pre-tape kind of thing.
But there was never a step, you know, you would never think from seeing that first sketch, oh, eventually we'll be making a movie out of this. And
or
even
any
when,
of
when they, like, when Lauren approached us about the movie, we still were like, oh, really? And then, we had a great time writing it and we're very happy with how the script turned out. And then, you know, thankfully, also delighted with how the movie has turned out, because we got to really do whatever we wanted to. But like, it was not like we were going like, oh yes, this. There was no part of us that felt like we
deserved
to be in this situation. we are so excited to be given this opportunity.
What was really nice is that when the opportunity came up that, like, you know, Lauren said, like, maybe there's some interest to do this MacGruber movie, would you guys want to write a script? And it was when, after the initial shock of like, what are we going to do sort of thing, we realized that we were left with this character that we loved, who is this insanely flawed, narcissistic, slightly homophobic, slightly racist, alcoholic, sort of like, you know, like this character that we loved because he was somehow lovable beyond his flaws sort of thing. And then we could do whatever we wanted, and knowing that we wanted it to be an action movie just sort of allowed us to find structure and put him into all these sort of crazy situations that you would never think he should be in.
It's time for one more question.
Did you approach MacGyver to be in it?
At one point there was a scene that we wrote where there was a MacGyver, there was a MacGruber father kind of thing, but for time, like, I mean, obviously, as we said, we shot this so fast that there was no real time for it. Sort of thing. But like, Richard, we're huge fans of that guy, and he actually just emailed Will yesterday, right?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, good luck with the movie. He is. It was so nice because we had done a bunch of MacGrubers, never knew if he had even seen them, and so when he. Last year came and did an SNL sketch in this Super Bowl commercial. It was the first time we had gotten a chance to actually meet him and see what he felt about the sketch, and it was so nice to get his blessing because he had seen it and
clearly
liked it.
It was
really, really nice because he is a tremendous guy and we're huge fans of his.
Yeah.
So sequel.
Sequel.
Let's just see how this one does.
Oh my god, we're just delighted to be in this situation.
Do you
want to?
No, go ahead.
Oh.
Oh,
what's that?
Go ahead.
You guys are opening against another SNL alum in Mike Myers with Shrek. So,
yeah.
And MacGruber is known for big, bold statements. So,
oh, we are going to take those fuckers down. No, I'm just kidding. we're huge fans of Shrek. But the, you know, we hope the movie does well.
Probably probably going to do better than Shrek.
But you know,
right? Let's be honest.
No matter what,
they made $120 million last time, so I think that
no matter what, we are. I can live with however it does at the box office because we made the movie we wanted to make, and we are very excited. Like, that doesn't happen very often, so I hope it does well. If it doesn't, I can live with myself because I really have a great amount of pride in this movie.